This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Okay, be seated. Is the state ready to call your next witness?
Yes, the state calls Bailey.
Okay, if you want to step right up over here, and before you have a seat, if you can turn and face her and raise your right hand, she will place you under oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God?
I do.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Bailey Andre, B-A-E-L-E-I-G-H, Andre, A-N-D-R-A-E.
Okay, and with that, the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
All right, can you tell us how you're employed?
I'm employed with the Green Bay Police Department as a forensic specialist.
We just heard from Ms. Sarnisky. Is she a colleague of yours?
Yes.
You work in the same unit?
Yes.
Okay, and I guess in your words, what do you describe your duties as?
We process crime scenes, whether that's photographing, videotaping, collecting evidence, processing for fingerprints, processing for DNA. We also go out and collect surveillance video for cases, and then processing evidence in-house for fingerprints and DNA as well.
And can you outline the training you've received as part of your current occupation?
Yeah. So I went to UW-Platteville. I have a bachelor's in forensics investigation. I also have a bachelor's in criminal justice. And then I've gone to ongoing trainings while I was employed with the Green Bay Police Department in their forensic unit related to forensic science for crime scenes, also for fingerprints. And then recently I've gotten IAI certified to certification for crime scene processing as well.
Okay. So I want to direct your attention to February 23rd of 2022. Were you working as a forensic specialist on that day?
Yes.
And did you respond to a residence on Stony Brook Lane on that day?
Yes.
And I guess what information did you have originally when you arrived at that residence?
I was instructed that there was a head in a bucket and that we were investigating a homicide scene.
So what was your role, I guess, in conducting that investigation?
I did all the photographs at the scene and then assisted with taking swabs and assisted with collecting some of the evidence.
And were you working with Ms. Sarnisky?
Yes.
All right. So your role in photographing, you also assisted in collecting items of evidence. Is there anything that you maintained custody of yourself?
No.
Who was that done by?
Michelle Sarnisky.
Okay. So your role was kind of more the photographing end of things?
Yes.
All right. Have you had the chance to review all those exhibits?
Yes.
All right. And do you recognize each of those exhibits?
Yes.
And what are those?
These are all photographs that I took at the Stony Brook address of the scene and areas of interest and items of interest within the scene.
And were all those taken on February 23rd, 2022?
Yes.
Okay. And when you're taking these photographs, I'll start here. Apart from Ms. Sarnisky, are there other officers with your department as well as medical examiner personnel who are present?
Yes.
Are they all sort of involved in, locating items of evidence?
Yes.
The photographs that you're taking, do they depict the scene prior to removal or messing with some of those items of evidence?
Yes.
All right. So the photographs are done first and then an item is collected.
Yes.
All right. So the exhibits we just referred to in exhibits 16 through 54, do they appear to fairly and accurately depict the scene in the basement that you encountered on February 23rd?
Yes.
I'd move Exhibit 16 through 54.
I'd ask that the court delay that decision until I get a chance to cross-examine on some of these pictures.
I'm satisfied that she's laid the foundation for them. Certainly, cross-examination is permissible, and whether they get published to the jury is another issue, but I'm going to receive the photos based upon the foundation that's been laid, and we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Your Honor,
yes.
Further argument. The argument as to Exhibit 45, there's an objection that's more prejudicial than probative. And then as to 46 and 47, they're duplicitous, essentially the same pictures, but maybe a different angle. And same thing for 51 and 52, that they're kind of like doubles. So that's my objection.
Okay, very good. Go ahead.
Thank you. So apart from photographing the scene and assisting Ms. Sarneski with collecting those items, is that the sum of your involvement in the basement on February 23rd?
Yes.
Were you involved in part of this investigation in another location on that day?
Yes.
And where was that?
It's an off-site storage facility.
And what did you do when you got to the off-site storage facility?
We processed a vehicle that we had a warrant signed for.
And do you recall what sort of vehicle it was?
Yep, it was a Town and Country minivan.
Remember the color?
Gold.
And at that point, it had already been transferred to the Green Bay Police Department facility?
Yes.
And what was your role, I guess, in processing the van?
I was doing photographs again, so I photographed the van itself and then items of interest, areas of interest.
Okay.
Yes.
And what are those exhibits?
These are photographs of the back passenger driver's side of the minivan, which includes a crock pot box and a body part inside the crock pot box, and then the crock pot box empty.
Okay. Are those photographs that you took?
Yes.
And do those appear to fairly and accurately depict the van as you encountered it on February 23rd, 2022?
Yes.
I'd move Exhibits 55, 56, and 57.
Your Honor, objection to 56 and 57 on grounds that they're more prejudicial than probative.
Okay. Well, I'll hold receipt of those then in abeyance. I'll receive 55 and rule in 56, 57. At the break.
Your involvement with respect to the investigation of the van was strictly photographing the scene?
Yes, and then assisting Sarneski with the swabs.
I want to ask you then about February 24th of 2022. Were you involved in any investigative steps on that date?
Yes.
And what specifically did you do on that date?
We went back out to the Stony Brook house and we processed that scene. We took additional photographs. We collected additional evidence. We swabbed additional areas. We also used an alternate light source camera, and then we did Blue Star as well.
And I'm going to ask you, what is Blue Star?
Blue Star is a chemical reagent that reacts with the hemoglobin in the blood, and it's a presumptive field test.
So it's a presumptive indicator of blood, but obviously it's not a lab test of sorts?
Correct.
Okay. Are you trained in kind of utilizing and conducting investigations using Blue Star?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess when you apply Blue Star to an area, what happens?
Areas that would be positive would glow.
Did yourself and any other members of your department apply Blue Star to areas of the basement?
Yes.
Which areas?
The shower and the bed and floor area over by the bed.
Okay. And did you then photograph, I guess, the results of some of those testings?
Yes. Yes.
And what do you believe those exhibits are?
These are photographs of the shower area with just natural light or a white light showing just different areas that were swabbed. So it would be a bunch of sample stickers. And then it goes into photographs of the Blue Star reagent where I photographed it on the side of the shower, on the bottom of the shower, on the shelf of the shower. And then there's two photographs that show the floor area underneath the bed. Half of that area is concrete, half of it is a carpet, and then one photograph is in like a natural white light, and the other photograph is showing the Blue Star reagent.
Are those photographs that you took yourself?
Yes.
And those appear to be fair reproductions of the photographs you took on February 24th?
Yes.
I'd move 58 through 63.
Any objection?
No objection.
58 through 63 will be received.
And then I'd ask permission to publish as well.
58 through 63?
Yes, sorry, 58 through 63.
You can publish those to the jury.
Thank you. All right. I feel a little hard with the glare. There's also a screen in front of you, Ms. Andre.
So, right down there, if you can see it.
Does this appear to be Exhibit 58?
Yes.
Okay. And what does this depict?
Just an overall photograph of the shower area. You can see a bunch of stickers throughout the shower. It's sample stickers for areas of interest that we swabbed. But this isn't just like a natural white light.
Essentially, this is your naked eye looking at the shower.
Yes.
All right. And then Exhibit 59.
So that's going to be the edge of the shower, and that's that Blue Star reagent reacting on the edge of the shower, and that's actually the left side. Okay. It's a photograph of it.
All right. So the sort of bluish highlighted area, is that the Blue Star reacting in those areas?
Yes.
All right. And then Exhibit 60.
Yep. So that's an overall photograph of the bottom of the shower, and that'd be the Blue Star reacting with that floor area and drain area of the shower. And then you can see on the right-hand side is the sides of that little, like, ledge.
Okay. And is that then 61?
Yep, and then 61 is an overall photograph of that ledge with the Blue Star reagent reacting in that shower.
And then are we looking at Exhibit 62 at this point?
Can you repeat yourself?
Sorry, is this Exhibit 62 that we're looking at? It's a little hard with the glare.
Do you need the light off over there?
If we could, Judge. Is this Exhibit 62?
Yes.
Okay. And what does Exhibit 62 depict?
This is the floor area outside of the shower. And I did originally describe it as that of the rug, or not rug, of the carpet in the concrete area, but it is outside the shower. It is very hard to see printed also as well. And you can see the pipe going into the little shower drain right there. And the shower is on the right-hand side.
So essentially, it's difficult to see, but it shows that shower drain area that we observed earlier, Exhibit 58?
It's a different drain.
Okay. Which drain is this?
This is the outside drain. So there's a drain inside the shower, and then there's a drain just outside the shower. And the drain from the shower itself drains to this drain.
Okay. So then I'm going to pull up Exhibit 58 quick. Which drain are you referring to as being depicted in Exhibit 62?
The one that's on the very bottom of the photo.
Okay. Sort of looks like on the concrete level as opposed to in the shower itself?
Yes.
All right. So then Exhibit 63. Actually, I will have to pull that up. All All right. So are we looking at Exhibit 63 then?
Yes.
Okay. And what area is Exhibit 63 depicting of that basement?
This is the concrete and the carpet area that's underneath the bed. We moved the bed to search underneath for any items of interest, areas of interest.
So the area that we're looking at in Exhibit 63, was this, I guess, at one point under the mattresses that were located in the basement?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you had to move those mattresses to see this area?
Yes.
And I guess the area that we're looking at, Exhibit 63, is that, I guess, suspected to be blood or other biological material?
Yes.
The mattress itself, the top mattress that was in the basement when you were there on the 23rd, did that have an area of blood spot on it?
It did have red substance, yes.
I guess in your observations, did it appear that the red substance we're seeing in Exhibit 63 had sort of soaked through the mattress at all, or was it, I guess, were you able to determine its origin at any point?
It did soak through the mattress, and we did look into it further to see how far, but not to determine where it came from.
Okay. I guess how far did it soak through the mattress?
Calls for speculation objection.
It's based on a direct observation.
Call overrule the objection. Go ahead and answer it.
So how far had it soaked through the mattress?
It went through multiple layers of the mattress. I don't know exactly how many inches it went down.
Sort of you're talking about the top mattress?
Correct.
Okay, not the other mattresses that were below it?
Correct.
There wasn't signs of soaking through or anything like that in those mattresses?
No.
Okay, thank you. Then I want to ask about February 25th of 2022. Did you assist Michelle Zarneski with processing items of evidence on that day?
Yes.
And what, I guess, items did you process?
We processed the shampoo bottle. We processed Clorox wipe container, shout bottle, a bunch of knives, the crock pot box, a rag, a towel, pair of shorts, and there might have been another thing. We processed a bunch of evidence that day.
Sure. So what was, I guess, your role specifically in processing those items of evidence?
So I took all the swabs that day and then collected all the samples for that. And then I also dusted for fingerprints and then collected the fingerprints that were obtained.
And I'm going to ask to publish 11, 12, 13, and 15, Your Honor.
The objection?
No.
All right. Those can be published.
All right. So once we come through here. Okay. So does this appear to be depicting Exhibit 11 that we're looking at on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. And what is Exhibit 11 depicting?
It's a photograph of the shout bottle. It also has a latent that's labeled on it as latent 2.
Okay, I want to pause here and ask about that. So what are latents?
Latents are going to be fingerprints that are not visible to the human eye unless they're processed with either like a powder or a chemical or with super glue. Or you can also do different lights at oblique angles as well.
Okay. Are you trained in, dusting or however, whatever the word is, items for fingerprinting?
Yes.
All right. You've done that in the past on cases?
Yes.
It's part of your common duties in the evidence department for the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes.
All right. So the sort of black, substance that we're seeing on the shout bottle, what is that?
That is that powder. So once we took all of our DNA samples from this exhibit, then I dusted it with a traditional black powder, and then we searched it and then labeled any latents that were, deemed suitable or showed any ridge detail for comparison purposes.
What do you mean by a latent being deemed suitable?
So there's a difference between having an outline or what looks to be a fingerprint or like a smear of a fingerprint. Fingerprints are ridges. So if you have enough ridges and minutiae, you'd be able to do comparison purposes. So with fingerprints, you need enough, and there's not essentially deemed what you need for enough. It's just that as a comparator, you would have to be able to look at it and see if you have any enough unique characteristics to make a comparison and say it would be a hit.
So there are times, when you observe something that looks like a fingerprint, but you're not able to compare it to anything. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. So as we look at Exhibit 11, then, there's appears to be a label called Latent 2. What does that signify?
That's the second latent that was located while we were processing this evidence that day.
The first latent, was that able to be developed any further?
No.
Okay. This second latent print, were you able to compare that to any other known fingerprint?
Yes.
And in the course of this investigation, did you have cause to compare that to a fingerprint card of Ms. Taylor Shabusiness?
Yes.
And what were the results of that comparison?
Latent 2 was a hit. I don't remember which finger offhand. It's all written in the details.
Okay. But there was a comparison, or a match, I suppose?
Yes.
Be fair to say that you process a lot of items of evidence in this case?
Yes.
All right. Would refreshing your details help you remember the match that was associated with Ms. Shabusiness?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And what is that?
This is my set of details that I wrote for my comparison that I did on May 14th, 2022. And it's for the comparison of four different latents that were collected for this case, one being latent 2.
I'd ask you if you could review Exhibit 64, and I'll then ask if that helped refresh your recollection with respect to the comparison of latent 2. Please just let me know when you're completed.
I'm all good.
Okay. And in comparing latent 2 that we're looking at here, what comparison was able to be made with respect to Ms. Shabusiness's fingerprints?
It was a hit to the right middle finger of Shabusiness's 10-print card.
And what's a 10-print card?
Anytime someone gets booked into jail, there'd be a 10-print card collected or a palm print card collected. And then it would be essentially connected to that record.
Okay. So I then want to look at Exhibit 12. Does that appear to be Exhibit 12 that we're projecting here?
Yes.
Okay. And Exhibit 12, does that depict the same shout bottle as Exhibit 11?
Yes.
Sort of on the different side of it?
Yes.
And there's a A sticker that's affixed to that, what does that signify?
That is latent 3, so that's the third latent that we located in this case when we were processing the evidence.
And was latent 3 able to be compared to any other known sample?
Yes.
Okay. And in comparing latent 3, was one of those fingerprints you compared it to that of Mr. Business?
Yes.
And were any matches made?
Yes.
And what did latent 3 match with?
Latent 3 matched with the right thumb of Shabusiness's 10-print card and a hit with the left ring finger of Shabusiness's 10-print card.
So there were multiple, latents or fingerprints that were located in this area?
Objection leading.
Overruled.
So were there multiple, fingerprints located in this latent 3 area?
Yes.
Okay. And then want to ask about Exhibit 13. Is that still in front of you? Is that what we're looking at here?
Yes.
Okay. And what is Exhibit 13?
This is a knife with a brown handle and silver blade. And it's the photograph of it showing two different areas of interest that we were going to swab, one being the handle itself and one being the blade.
Did you take any swabs from that item?
Yes.
Where did you swab on that item?
One was from the blade and one was from the handle.
So we're looking at 13 here. Sample 14 and 15 are sort of shown in labels. Are those the different areas that you would have swabbed?
Yes.
Okay, so for instance, sample 15... of this exhibit, that would have been the blade area.
Yes.
And do you recall what areas of the blade you swabbed?
The entire blade.
Okay. Including the silver part and the red part?
Yes.
Your Honor, I've got an objection. We've got a knife up on the screen. I thought that was 13. Now he's talking about 15. So go ahead.
Go ahead. Sample 15 is the swabbing of the blade. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And this is still exhibit 13?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
The labels next to them, I think, 15 and 14.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just hard to see on the screen. I see it now.
Sure. So the sample that you took of the blade area, how did you collect that sample?
We always use sterile clean gloves. One person puts gloves on. They don't touch anything. Someone else assists with handing them a swab. So then they are holding the swab, the person that has the sterile gloves on. The assister would put distilled water on the swab itself, and then the person that's swabbing would swab the item or area of the item that is getting the sample taken for.
Is that the process and protocol you used in this case?
Yes.
What did you do with the swab once you collected it?
It goes into a swab box, and then the swab box itself and swab gets entered into evidence as an exhibit.
And is that what you did for sample 15 here?
Yes.
And you then entered it into the Green Bay Police Department evidence room?
Yes.
Thank you. Then is Exhibit 15, Court Exhibit 15, is that still in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. And what does Exhibit 15 depict?
This is a photograph of the inside of the crockpot box, and there is a sample sticker on the glove that's in the photograph, but it's very hard to see as it was washed out with the flash or with the camera, with how much light it was pulling back in.
Did you process the crockpot box as well in terms of swabbing it?
Yes.
What area did you swab, if you recall?
I believe it was the red substance inside the box.
Sort of on the bottom of the box as we're looking at it?
Yes.
All right. And that sample that you collected of that area of the box, did you use the same protocol in collecting this swab as the previous one we talked about?
Yes.
Okay, and that was also entered into evidence at the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you also, apart from those items we just reviewed, have the chance as part of this case to swab a item that was recovered that was described as a dildo?
Yes.
Okay, and you were asked to, I guess, process that item further?
Yes.
Do you recall the date that would have been?
That was March 4th, 2022.
Show you Exhibit 65. Do you recognize Exhibit 65?
Yes.
And what is that?
It's an overall photograph of the packaging and of the dildo along with the sample one sticker next to it.
And is that an item of evidence that you would have swabbed in this case?
Yes.
Okay. And the photograph as well?
Yes.
You took the photograph?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd move Exhibit 65.
Any objection?
No.
65 is received.
The sample sticker that's sort of denoted in that photograph, what does that signify?
So that's sample one. And typically, when we start a new day, even if it's the same case, we'll start over with sample one through whatever we end up going to, just so that there's no confusion on duplicating samples. So this would be sample one, because this was a new day that I was processing this single item.
The swab that you took of that object, where specifically were you swabbing, if you remember?
It was the entire thing.
Okay. And that swab that you collected, was that done in the same manner that you described earlier?
Yes.
Was it also then similarly submitted into the evidence room?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have nothing further.
Mr. Frelick.
Exhibit 65, the dildo, why did it take so long to have that swabbed?
Sometimes items don't get swabbed right away, and then later in the investigation, detectives will request items to be swabbed. So I was just requested to swab this.
Okay. And that was done on March 4th of 2022?
Correct.
Where did you locate it?
Located?
Where did you do the swabbing?
Oh, at the station, so at the Green Bay Police Department.
Okay. So on February 23rd of 2022, you worked with forensic specialist Sarnecki to process a gold minivan, correct?
Yes.
Was it a Chrysler Town & Country minivan?
Yes.
And that was at the storage facility?
Yes.
And you processed the minivan for DNA, latent prints, and other items of interest, is that correct?
Yes.
And you had a chance to look at it, correct?
Yes.
You walked around the outside of it?
Yes.
You saw the inside of it, correct?
Yes.
Who else was there? Specialist Zarnecki.
There was multiple detectives and then also a medical examiner's office. Including a doctor and one of their investigators.
Was it Dr. Tranquita and Petra Schwab?
Yes.
Okay. What time of the day were you there, do you know? Like, did you get there in the morning, in the afternoon?
For the vehicle? Or
yes, for the vehicle.
For the vehicle? Yeah. That was in the afternoon.
Okay. How long were you there at the storage facility?
Maybe an hour, 2 hours.
Okay. And you took pictures?
Correct.
And then you met other detectives there, Detective Liberta, Detective Cassie Pacala, Detective Bry, Detective Scanlon, Dr. Tranquita, and investigator Petra Schwab. Is that right?
Yes.
The you took pictures of the interior and the exterior of this minivan, correct?
Yes.
And you labeled and photographed areas of interest. Is that fair?
Yes.
And Specialist Czarnecki did the swabbing. Is that fair?
Yes.
The van, did you find two papers for a Wisconsin certificate of vehicle registration for that vehicle?
Yes.
Was that for a Scott M. Tomes?
Yes.
And that paperwork was found in the glove box?
Correct.
And then you found, did you find a Wisconsin title and license plate application for Scott Tomes for this vehicle in the glove box as well?
Yes.
And then you also found a DMV registration receipt in the glove box. Is that fair?
Yes.
For what you knew, the owner of this vehicle was Scott Tomes, correct?
Yes.
Did you watch as Specialist Czarnecki removed items from the trunk?
Yes.
Did she open the gate of the minivan, or did someone else?
I don't remember.
Okay. But you were there and you're watching what was going on, correct?
Yes.
Observing, correct?
Yes.
This is a minivan, so it has a side door that slides, correct?
Yes.
Inside the vehicle, was it such that you saw a crock pot box, correct?
Yes.
And that was sitting inside of a laundry basket, correct?
Yes.
Inside the laundry basket, there were clothes that were folded or stacked, correct?
Yes.
And this laundry basket was sitting on a seat behind the driver's side?
Yes.
There was also a cooler in this vehicle, correct?
Correct.
There was absolutely nothing in the cooler, correct?
Correct.
You did not find the crock pot box. That was Specialist Czarnecki, correct?
Yes.
And Specialist Czarnecki removed all the items from inside the crock pot box, correct?
I believe it was Dr. Trinquita that did remove the items from the crock pot box.
Okay. And you put labels on anything you found to be of interest, correct?
Yes.
There were areas of interest that were swabbed and processed for DNA. Is that fair?
Yes.
And then they would be given sample numbers, correct?
Yes.
And is it true that a mistake was made because there were two different areas of interest that were labeled by a sample 12 by mistake?
Correct.
And there were a total of 14 samples collected from the vehicle, correct?
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about the mistake that was made. What happened there?
I labeled samples 1 through 12, and then Czarnecki labeled samples 12, the second one, and then 13. I wouldn't know. We probably relayed the message that we thought we had less samples, but we didn't.
Okay. How did you rectify that then? Did you take some action to fix it?
Fixing it, I guess, would just be describing the samples itself. So when we enter them into evidence, they get a description of what areas that sample is truly from.
You also photographed some items that Specialist Czarnecki found, correct?
Yes.
One being an empty pill bottle for Scott Tomes for oxycodone, correct?
I don't recall what the bottle was, but yes, I did take a photograph of a bottle prescribed for him.
And that was in the driver's side door, correct?
Yes.
The next day, on February 24th of 2022, you and Specialist Czarnecki followed up by processing the residence at 829 Stony Brook Lane, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell me why you didn't go over to Stony Brook Lane the same day on February 23rd?
We already worked long hours, and everyone needed to take a break. Okay. And get some sleep and rest.
And that's kind of standard practice, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So then what time did you get over to Stony Brook Lane on February 24th of 2022? If you know, like, was it morning? Was it the afternoon?
I don't remember.
Okay. Do you know how long you were there?
I believe it was for a couple hours.
Okay. And where did you investigate, or where did you look around? Was it the whole house, just the basement? Can you tell me?
Just the basement.
Other detectives were there as well?
Yes.
And did your partner, Specialist Zarnecki, ask for assistance from an evidence technician at the Ashwaubenon Public Safety Department?
Yes.
And that was to utilize the ALS camera?
Yes.
Does the Green Bay Police Department have a camera that it can use for alternate light source investigations?
We now do.
Okay. But at the time, you didn't have one?
Correct.
Were you trained to use this device back on February 24th of 2022?
I did not use it. Okay. And no, I was not trained.
Okay. You were there kind of like for observation?
Yes.
And so was it evidence technician Holly Moss that was using the camera and taking the pictures and doing all of that?
Yes.
Okay. The blue light, the exhibits 59 through 63, I don't know if you have them up there. There's a lot of exhibits. But those particular exhibits, the blue light, what does that signify?
That's the Blue Star reagent reacting that's a presumptive test for the blood.
The blue means blood?
Yep.
Okay.
Presumptive, yeah.
Okay. Could it be something else?
Yes.
What could it be?
I know that it does react with different chemical reagents, like cleaning supplies, so the chemicals in there, such as bleach. But I don't know the list of what it all reacts with.
But certain chemicals can cause the blue light?
Yes.
It could be like a false positive. You might think it's blood, but it's something else?
Yes.
Okay. And I think it's Exhibit 58. I try to take good notes. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah.
Is that the shower?
Yes.
It shows the inside of the shower and a drain inside the shower, right?
Yes.
And then it also shows the shower drain, let's write that. It shows the shower with a drain inside, and then it shows a drain on the outside, correct?
Yes.
The blue light was coming from which drain, do you know?
It was from the drain inside the shower.
Inside the shower?
Right.
For all of those exhibits 59 through 63?
No, there's one photograph that shows the drain on the outside of the shower. So 62.
Okay. Can you turn your attention to exhibits 46 and 47, please?
Say they're the same, but they show part of the same area.
They show the same mattress, the contents on the mattress. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. And then, thank you. Could you turn your attention to exhibits 51 and 52? Please. Was there? You have them?
Yep.
Your Honor, could I approach you?
You may.
Thank you.
Exhibits 51 and 52, both depict drains, correct?
Correct.
The drain that's outside of the shelter, is that fair?
Yes.
And these drains have like some sort of a black hose that filters into the drain, correct?
Correct.
And then there's a clear plastic hose that also goes into it?
Correct.
And the drain has circular holes that are throughout the drain, is that fair?
Correct.
Exhibits 51 and 52 are the same drain that's outside of the shower, is that fair?
Yes.
Thank you. If you could direct your attention to Exhibit 45. You have it?
Good.
Could I approach one more time?
Sure.
Exhibit 45 is the teal tote that we're talking about, correct?
Correct.
Did you see that at the Stony Brook Lane property?
Yes.
Was that on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes.
Where did you see it?
I saw it sitting next to the bed.
Okay. By the mattresses?
Yes.
Was that kind of like in the corner by the wall?
Yes.
And that was processed by you taking some pictures?
Yes.
Did you do any swabs of it?
Yes.
Where did you swab it?
We took a sample of the substance inside of the tote.
Anywhere else?
I don't recall.
When you initially saw the tote, was there anything on top of it or was it just exposed?
There was items on top.
What was on top of it?
Miscellaneous clothing, a rope.
Did you remove the items off of the tote?
No.
Who did?
I believe it was Detective Scanlon.
Okay. Did you watch that process unfold?
Yes.
With regards to the mattresses, was it such that there were three mattresses that were stacked on top of each other in the basement by the wall?
Yes.
Were they basically all of the same thickness?
Yes.
And on top of the top mattress, there was blankets and the phones and things of that sort, fair?
Yes.
Did you do any scientific testing as far as the the blood going through the mattress at all?
Can you re-ask that question?
Well, did you do any kind of formal testing as far as how far or how deep the penetration was with regards to the blood into the mattress?
We did cut through the mattress to look to see if it continued through the layers of mattress, but I don't believe that we took a photograph of the depth itself.
Okay. Did you do the cutting?
No.
Okay. Someone else did?
Yes.
Exhibit 63, the concrete and the carpet, you know, when you move the mattresses, did you do some swabbing and testing of whatever was on the floor?
Yes.
Where did you do the swabs? Because it's kind of a big area.
We labeled different areas on that floor along either spots that were red in substance or they reacted with the Blue Star reagent.
Was it your understanding that there was a cat in the house, that there's a kitty litter box down there?
Yes.
After you took all your samples, what did you do with the samples? Did you send them somewhere?
They all got entered into evidence with the Green Bay Police Department. And then it's up to the detective and the crime lab how many samples can be sent and which ones to send.
So the detectives are the ones that send the samples into Madison?
Correct.
To the state crime lab?
Correct.
That's how that works, correct?
Correct.
Okay. As far as the, you know, the drain cover that we just talked about, did you have anything to do with moving the drain cover at all?
No.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you.
Redirect. Briefly, so to be clear, when you were asked questions about, like, the ALS versus the Blue Star, those are different things, right?
Correct.
Okay. So the Blue Star that we observed the images of, you are trained in conducting sort of those investigations?
Yes.
All right. You were asked then questions about the shower drains. The drain itself in the shower, when you were kind of doing your processing of the scene, were you able to determine where it drained to?
Yes.
Where was that?
It drained to that floor drain right in front of it.
So there are two drains that we looked at earlier. But essentially, they lead to the same one that's in the floor.
Well, the drain in the shower leads to the second drain, yes.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Anything on that, Mr. Fraley?
No.
All right. Thank you. You're excused.
Your Honor?
State.
Yes. Your Honor, I know that you said that you would hold argument on an exhibit or two till the break. Will I have a chance to at least argue that at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
At the next break.
Okay. All right.
State have a next witness?
He will be lengthier, and we would propose to publish some of those, I think, disputed exhibits through that witness, so potentially.
Okay. I think we'll take a 7-minute break. We'll be back at about 3:45. All rise for the jury.
You're listening to True Crime Today in the Hidden Killers podcast, continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.